Long ago in Tang, China, there was an old monk going on a pilgrimage to Mount Wutai, the abode of Manjushri, the Bodhisattva of wisdom. Aged and weak, he was treading the long, dusty road alone, seeking alms along the way. After many long months, one morning he gazed upward and saw the majestic mountain in the distance. By the roadside, there was an old woman working the field. "Please tell me," he asked, "how much longer must I proceed before reaching Mount Wutai?" The woman just looked at him and uttered a guttural sound and then returned to her hoeing. He repeated the question, and then a second and a third time, but still there was no answer. Thinking that the woman must be deaf, he decided to push on. After he had taken a few dozen steps, he heard the woman call out to him, "Two more days! It will take you 2 more days." Somewhat annoyed, the monk responded, "I thought you were deaf. Why didn't you answer my question earlier?" The woman replied, "You asked the question while you were standing put, master. I had to see how fast your pace was, how determined your walk." Well, I know it's probably not relevant, but I needed to tell you that my Kindle did the same thing to me the other day as I was reading a book. It told me right at the bottom of the page, 3 more hours until I finished this book. And then suddenly, so then I flipped the page, and suddenly it told me that I only had 2 hours and 11 minutes. And I thought, like, whoa, I have never fancied myself a speed reader. And suddenly it was all about beating the record. Like, I don't hardly even remember what was on those pages. I just kept looking what was on the bottom. So the next day, speed reader that I am, I opened another book on my Kindle, and I noticed that every page I read, I had longer and longer to go before I was finished. Now, all I can tell you, the lesson there is that the purpose isn't how fast we get there. In this community of faith, in this welcoming congregation of celebration, service, freedom, and vision, it's more about what happens while we're here. Eric Walker Wickstrom preaches of the spirituality of service, that all of what we do to create the whole is holy. The lay leadership, the coffee making, the showing up for the annual meeting. It's the attitude of how we approach the work that makes it transformational. Serving your congregation can be a spiritual practice. As the Reverend Gary Kowalski once put it, people who come to Unitarian Universalism seeking spiritual goods are likely to be disappointed so long as they have the outlook of consumers in search of material goods. If their connection to our liberal faith is to grow into something more rewarding, they have to give up the consumer mind and the consumer mindset and begin to think of themselves instead as shareholders, investors, co-owners in what happens in the church, just as the parties in a marriage see themselves as partners rather than competitors with a joint share in the success of the enterprise. This is what I'm going to learn today, that I am part of the whole, that the only gift is a portion of myself, that there is an unknowable, and where there is an unknowable, there is a promise. Part of that promise is our agreements that we make together. Last year, on this very same Sunday, I reminded us that we are a covenantal church. We consider covenant as the binder that holds us together rather than a creedal approach to religion. It is our agreements rather than our beliefs that move us in that same direction, that keep us coming around to the same place. We agree to walk together, not to believe the same thing. We so frequently lift up our principles, and even they are words that come from a covenant written back in 1985. We live under this and many covenants, one that we repeat in worship when we say, "Love is the spirit of this church." It's really about having faith in the unknowable, about being willing to walk together anyway, willing to learn. In January, members of your board of trustees, your committee on ministry, and Darcy and myself came together to consider where we are as a community and a congregation, where we are going, and the goals that we set for the journey. Together, these have been renamed our commitment, and they list much of what we strive for, in exact language, what we faithfully try to be. We'll look at them carefully later this morning. But named are the spiritual elements of our vibrancy, our diversity, the practicing and learning nature of this place. Made clear in those commitments is the importance that we place on being a worshiping community and how our collective search is celebrated together. We name the need to keep on learning, just as it says in the principle about our spiritual growth and learning. And we explicitly, in these commitments, name the need for our children to have a healthy place for learning. We lay out our desire to offer service in the larger community. We want to be a congregation that provides a warm welcome to newcomers, as well as support to people who are going through crisis. We want to become educated about issues where there is injustice, including the earth, so that we can take action and provide spiritual, moral, and material support. And we are committed to being a financially healthy congregation, one that is ethical, compassionate, as well as handles its affairs with transparency. These are the commitments that we have laid out. Now, at that very same January meeting, the leadership made another commitment. They agreed to work toward numerical growth of this congregation. I believe it is expressly because of the belief that this message is worth hearing and these values worth sharing. It is because of the desire to create a welcoming spiritual home and the desire to expand the diversity that exists here that the more we grow, the more we can become who we are meant to be. You'll be asked to join in that commitment. I'm going to learn on this day where we hold our annual meeting, where we honor our spiritual integrity by voting on things which matter to us, by honoring our covenants with one another, by showing up, by telling our truth, by practicing this free religion. Today, I am grateful for a shared ministry which takes all of us to make it work. And now I'd like to thank and express my gratitude and let the congregation express their gratitude for some of you in particular. Today, I am grateful for the elected leadership of this congregation, those who set the vision and are willing to attend meetings. So I'd like to invite the members of the Board of Trustees to please stand. Wonderful. And here they are. And stay standing. Stay standing. If you are able, please stay standing. Because I'd like to also invite, are members of the nominating committee, because they are also elected. Please stand if you serve the nominating committee. And And the Committee on Ministry, if you serve the Committee on Ministry, these members are appointed. You can hold your applause to the end because guess what? We're going to keep going. The Committee on Ministry, who attends to the process, in other words, how we do this of our shared ministry. How about the coffee makers? Are they still in here? I wanted to do this before it was too late. Yes, if you're a coffee maker, please stand. And stay standing. Small group leaders, if you have led any small group, if you have attended any small group, if you're a part of a small group, this might be a class. I know you go to it because, yes, please stand. Yes, those small groups. The religious educators, if you have been a teacher, if you have assisted in teaching, please stand. The youngest child, their parents. If you are a parent, please stand. Unsung heroes who finish the unnamed projects and are likely sitting in that seat next to you. I'm looking around. I see people who do all sorts of things. I haven't figured out how to name them. A committee, a group. If you're on a committee, if you come to church on Sunday. If you come with your partner to church on Sunday. Who's still sitting down? If you... Yay! If you're Marla. It's all of us. It's all of us. Well, David is back there too, sitting down. And if you're David Baker, in this multi-generation, and back there, in other words, just because we're in here does not mean there are people that are not inside these sanctuary walls. In this multi-generational community, we value and learn from our oldest members, and I'll invite you to sit back down because that reminds me. Our oldest members who offer unfailing love, from the middle-aged sandwiched multitasker doing their best to bring home the turkey bacon and show up for church on Sunday, even when caring for elders and children. They are the young adult who knows that although the church is not perfect, they have made room for it in their still developing busy lives. And they are the child, so curious with open mind and joy-filled heart. I'm going to learn that living through the journey, noticing and growing along the way is what I can bring to the congregation, to show up for the unknowable, to say yes to the commitment, to be willing to grow in spirit. What better place is there to do it? May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.